not too good about that. We're going to do something this morning right quick. I just want everybody to kind of stand up a little bit, kind of stretch your arms. It's not because I'm going to preach for hours, but just turn to the person next to you or find somebody next to you and find out their favorite color. Just get to know them a little bit because they're your family. And now, everybody that brought your Bibles, which hopefully you did because you're in church. You guys watch Joel Osteen, don't you? We're going to do a little something that he does, but do it a little different. So everybody hold your Bible up in the air. Everybody hold your Bible up in the air. And now look at the person next to you or around you and say, "This is my Bible. If you find it, give it back to me." So now you know whose Bible is which. So just letting you know there. So we're going to read from Exodus 17. You guys can have a seat. I preached a message in college about unity, and we named it "This House Is Unity," and "In This House We Do Unity," and that's the message. That's gonna be the title of this message today. And one thing I found out after watching that message, I tend to do a lot of ninja moves when I preach. Apparently, I can't keep my hands still. But then I had one mic, so I had one hand. Now I got both hands free, so ain't no telling what I'm gonna do next. So, but in Exodus 17, in this part of Scripture, I like reading stories about the Israelites because it's funny to me how a whole group of people can sum up one individual person. Now, if you look at it, how each and every, the millions of people there, how they acted can exactly relate to how one Christian acts today. And the part that they're at now is they get to this place called Rephidim. And they had just left Egypt. They had been delivered. And they get to this place called Rephidim. And I've done a lot of research on what the term Rephidim means. And it actually means a place of rest. And so when they get there, they get to this spot. And they're so thirsty and they're aggravated because there's no water. They're in the desert. And they're crying out to Moses, "What do we do? What do we do?" Moses calls to God, "What do I do?" Moses gets a staff, hits a rock. Water comes out. And they got water. But I'm not really going to focus on that part. I'm going to focus on the next part when the Amalekites attack. In that part, they're sitting in the place of rest, and out of nowhere, the Amalekites, the army of Amalek, come out, and they start attacking the children of Israel. Moses don't know what's going on. He sees a lot of chaos, and he's scared, and the people are coming up to him. "Oh, we're being attacked. We're being attacked. What do we do?" Moses cries out to God. Moses grabs the staff of God, which is the staff he's had from the beginning of his ministry, since God first called him. He grabs the staff and he raises it up in the air. And when he raises it, the Israelites prevailed. When he lowers it, the Amalekites prevailed. And you notice as he raised it, he started getting tired. His hands started getting weary. He had to put it down. But then Aaron and Hur came alongside him, sat him down on a rock, and then held his hands up to where that they could prevail the whole story. I know a bunch of you have probably heard this story before, but this story really sits well with me because of the fact that today, especially if you look at what happened last week with the shootings and things, I noticed on social media how we see a lot of people putting on praying for Colorado or praying for the families of Colorado. And when it comes to the statements we make of, "I'm praying for this person," or like I notice a lot of times we'll hear, "Yeah, I'm praying for you," or "Can you keep me in your prayers?" "Yes, I'm praying for you." And I'm not condemning, or I'm not coming from a state of condemnation here, but I'm asking the question is, are we really praying, or are we really just saying it? You know, like I notice I'm capable of this a lot of times, of when people says, "I need your prayer," and I'm like, "Okay, I'm praying for you," and then I leave it at that, and then I completely forget about it. And like Dad said here, I really appreciate your prayers through everything. To come out of what I came from, to go to where I am now, I don't even feel like the same person. And the majority of that is because of all your prayers, and I appreciate it. But I'm going to go ahead and read here. I know I told you a little background story. I just wanted to kind of get you caught up if you don't remember the story. So it says right here, the Amalekites came and attacked Israelites at Rephidim, the place of rest. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out and fight. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua fought the Amalekites and Moses was ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held his hands up, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held up his hands on both sides, that his hands remained steady until sunset. And Joshua overcame Amalekite with the army and the sword. From the beginning of the ministry, I told you that God called Moses from the beginning when he met him at the burning bush and said, I want you to take, when Moses said, how is anybody going to believe me? God said, take that staff in your hand and use it, and you can show the world that I have, that that's me through you. That's your authority that I'm giving you to prove to the world that I'm with you, to prove to Pharaoh that I'm with you. And today you might think to yourself like, I don't have a staff. There's no staff. But the truth is that this is the authority that God's given you in this world. And Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life and the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And the thing about the word of God should be what's on our lips throughout anything. But this is our staff of God. This is the authority that God's given us. So when we get into a situation and our place of rest that we get in, and most of the time we find out whenever we're in that place of comfort, or we've come out of this season and now we're in this season of just resting and relaxing, that's a lot of times when the enemy decides that he's going to attack. Just like here, they get to that place of rest, they get to refeed him, and all of a sudden the enemy attacks. And so that happens to us a lot of times when we get down and we get upset, and we tend to isolate ourselves. We tend to pull ourselves back when something negative happens, or when something comes against us, a sickness comes against us, or something financially breaks against us, or there's a problem in our marriage, there's a problem in our home, our kids are acting up. We tend to pull aside and we just reflect on that. We isolate ourselves, we hide. And it's like I told you last week when Dad asked me to speak a little bit, and in Proverbs 18:1, it says, a man that isolates himself seeks his own selfish desires and is cut off from all sound judgment. So when you hide yourself away, when you take yourself and put yourself in a corner and you start reflecting on everything that's happened to you, everything bad, all of a sudden the enemy's just using that. The devil is using that to jump on you, to jump on you, to jump on you, and to continue to bring you down. And there's nothing around you, there's no one around you to lift your arms up whenever you can't prevail. Whenever you should be, you should have the word of God here in your hands. You should have it raised in your hand, and you should be quoting it at the devil, telling him to get away. But your hands are getting tied, and you have nobody standing next to you to lift you up. And there's this one part here that really, really, really stands out to me that I love more than anything. And it's the part here that says, when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him. And like, this isn't theology or anything here when it comes to that word stone, but it just stood out to me because as I read, you know, you read throughout scripture in Psalm 118:22, it talks about how Christ will be the stone that the builders rejected, and he'll be the cornerstone. And you think about what a stone represents. And in the story before, when God told Moses to grab his staff and strike the rock, what did that rock represent? When he was supposed to strike it, that rock was representing Jesus, and then the water would flow that would feed. And then later on in the scripture, whenever they encountered a rock again, they were thirsty. God told Moses to speak to the rock, and then the water would flow. But Moses struck it again, and you all know that story. But Christ represents the stone here in my mind. It stuck out to me there. That's what I really love about it. If you think about it, whenever he had his friends, he had his people in ministry with him, he had his church family with him, he had his people around him that were lifting him up. He had Aaron and Hur that were holding his hands up, but that wasn't enough. They took a stone and placed it under him. And if you think about that, whenever you get grounded in a thing and the enemy comes at you, you can quote your words all day long. You can tell the devil to get away from you. You can do all this, but it's not any good unless you use Jesus Christ at the center of it. And the thing that I love more than anything, and I don't know if you know this, and hopefully you do because you read your Bible and you're a Christian, but the thing that's great about this is that when Christ raised his hands on the cross, he conquered everything. Every battle that you had, every sin that came against you, everything that you've experienced negative in your life, every experience that you've had that's brought you down, when your wife left you, whenever your kids have acted rebellious, whenever your son's on drugs, whenever anything's like that, Christ had his arms up and said, I'm winning this battle for you. He said, all you got to do is call out to me, and then I'll help you out. You got to understand that. Majority of you know what I went through 2 years ago. And all of it was, not all of it, but the majority of it was my fault. But when it happened, the worst thing that I could have done and the worst thing that I did do was who I surrounded myself with. It's who I put myself around. And the majority of the time is who, whenever I hid myself away. Like I said, in Proverbs 18:1, where it says, a man that isolates himself is cut off to all sound judgment. When that happened to me, I went home and hid myself away and focused on everything that I did wrong, everything that happened to me, everything that was my fault, everything that was just everything. And then all that happened there was, well, I just need more of it. 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 And the funny thing is when Scripture tells you to raise your child the way he should go and he should not depart from it, that's the 100% truth, and I believe it more than anything, because anytime something negative happened to me, whenever I felt down, the first people I called, and you can ask them, you can call them, was mom and dad. The first place I went to was mom and dad. And the truth of that matter is that when I got there, I didn't want to hear Scripture. I didn't want to hear how God was good to me, because that wasn't helping me at all in any moment of that time. Okay, yeah, sure. And you can ask them, whenever they would start quoting Scripture, I'd get mad and I'd leave. But when something negative would happen to me again, the first place I went was back to hear Scripture again. And why is that? Because I was raised that way and I knew the truth. I knew the truth. And the thing I was going to talk about today was when it comes to when you see the shooting that happened on TV up in Colorado, and like I noticed a lot of people, I read one thing where this girl said in one of the interviews, she said, I was laying on my face crying out to God that I wouldn't get killed. And I talked to Kelly, and you see where a lot of people are posting on social media that sometimes in situations like this, the only thing you can do is pray. And I talked to Kelly and Mom about this. I said, to me, it seems like you can get the most atheist person in the room. And when they say, when you put a gun in their face, or you put them in a situation like that, the first person they're going to cry out to is the person they don't even believe in. And you can do that with any situation. The number one phrase cried out in any kind of tragedy other than a curse word is, oh God. Whether they're Christian or not, whether they're atheist or not, whether they're crying out to God. And there's something that's built inside of us and each and every one of us that knows that when we get into a situation or when something negative happens to us, we have that yearning. They have that sense inside our souls that needs to cry out to God. It needs to cry out to this creator. It needs to cry out to this person that created us, even if we've never experienced him yet. It's there. But sometimes when you get into a situation, like I said, that I was in, you try to start filling it with other things. You try to start filling it with alcohol. You try to start filling it with women. You try to start filling it with friends, the wrong friends. You try to start filling it with drugs. You try to start filling it with sleep. You try to start filling it with hiding away. You try to start filling it with curse words. You try to start filling it with movies. You try to start filling it with anything that's going to make you feel good for a temporary second, but all that does is drag you down. When all you've got to do is take the authority that God's given you, like I said, and raise it and tell the devil to get out of your face. What did Jesus do whenever he was out in the wilderness and the devil came and tempted him? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but on the word of God. He said that he took his authority. He was a man. He was 100% man, but also 100% God. But he was a man that was tempted just like every one of us. He took what God gave him and resisted Satan in that situation. The person that had every right in the world to give up, the person that had every right in the world to say, I'm done with this, nobody's listening to me, the people that I healed, the people that I went to, that I said, be healed, and they went away, the people that actually came to me and really wanted to hear me, now are yelling, crucify me. They're telling me they don't want me no more. They're telling me he could have. I mean, if it come to one of us in that situation, I'm 100% sure I'd have said, all right, look, I ain't really this guy. I lied to you. I'm going to step off. Just so I don't have to go through what I'm going through. I want everybody to like me. And that's the situation we all get in. We get into this place where we want people to like us. We want to get out of there and we want people. Oh, I just want to please people. I want to make everybody love me. I don't like when people are aggravated at me. I don't like when people are talking bad about me. I don't like this. I don't like that. I'm so glad that we got a Savior. I'm so glad that we got a Father that honestly, He wants you to love Him. He wants you to care about Him. But He does not care what you think about Him. He does not care how you treat Him. And He's still going to follow you no matter what. He's got a God. You got a God that's going to come to you in a situation of pain, He's going to come to you and be behind you in every situation to where you've done given up. Where life's ended, the thing that you've invested every part of your life into is gone. But there's one person that's behind you the whole time, and he's not ever going to stop. He ain't ever going to stop. I don't care how long I've been in Australia, I'm going to keep saying ain't. He is not ever going to stop. Well, I did stop. There you go. Jesus Christ has got his arms high. He's got them raised. He's the authority that God planted in earth. He put him, he created us in his image. He made a man in his image and said, stretch your arms high, hold it up to where the battle can be defeated. Come on, people. I'm preaching better than your amen. Come on. We got to get this love going. We got to stand by one another. We are a family. I told you before that in this westernized society, you think of what home means. You think, well, this is my home. This is my castle. This is us. Don't bother us. That's community. That's people I go hang out with. That's friends. But this is home. Church ain't got nothing to do with home. Work ain't got nothing to do with home. The town around me ain't got nothing to do with home. But the truth is that it should all be modeled together. You come to church, the Father in heaven is your Father. This should be identical of what home should be for you. And you should take it home and raise your children the way that God has raised you. You should love your wives as Christ loved the church. In Genesis 3:6, there's one thing here. When the devil came and tempted Eve in the garden. This is one thing that I've always loved. Whenever you hear the story of when the devil tempted Adam and Eve in the garden, you tend to think to yourself that he goes to Eve first and she's off by herself. Adam, I guess if nowadays he'd be at work working his job. She's off at home, and all of a sudden this dude comes up and starts telling her that she can do what she wants, that God wasn't really telling her the truth. And she gets into this thing. It says, when the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good and food, and it was pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her. Who was with her? Who stood beside her while all this is going on. Who stood beside her when he saw the lies happening to her. Who's standing right next to his wife watching the devil attack. Did he step in? Did he raise her hand? Did he take that authority? Did he take the word of God and rebuke the devil? No, he didn't. What did he do? He stood by her, watched it happen, knowing full well what God told him to tell her, knowing full well that God told him not to eat it, while the devil's telling him, it's all right. And he ate it with her. He supported her, but he supported her in the wrong way. He didn't raise her hand. He didn't have his hands raised. But like I said, thankfully we got the second Adam. The Adam that means more than anything. We got Jesus Christ, like I said, that came and raised his arms. That raised his arms so we could defeat any battle. But the thing is, it didn't stop there. Oh, if it stopped there, this wouldn't be worth preaching. He went to the grave. Fought the devil. Raised from the dead. And now we got a king that's alive. We got a Father that's alive, and I said, that's never stopped being with us. Come on, people. Give him a praise. Come on. Come on. Tell him you love him. Tell him you love him. I am sick and tired of seeing the devil attack family. I'm sick and tired of seeing the devil attack this country and us stand by and do nothing about it. You hear all the time how you've heard it as growing up. If you grew up in children's church, you heard, I'm in God's army. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I mean, never march with the infantry, fly over the cavalry, ride with the, whatever the words are. I don't even remember them. But you heard it and you knew you were in God's army. But what did that mean? That was just lyrics to make you have fun in children's church? No. It was the truth of the matter. You got an enemy out there. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of the air. We wrestle against the devil, and he's out there to stop the revival that's going to happen, not just in this nation, but it's going to happen in the world, because it's happening already, people. We're seeing moves like anybody's. I told Dad that Reinhard Bonnke preached at Hillsong Eastern. He talked about in just 7 years of ministry, he's seen over 9 million salvations. in Africa. I mean, he's always believing for the salvation of Africa. You hear him, that's all he talks about. Pastor Brian speaks and he says, you sit down and talk to him, you just want to have a normal conversation with him. He said, all he wants to talk about is how all of Africa is going to be saved. And that's what I want to see. We sit there and we talk about, well, Iuka's just bad. Iuka's got people that just want to talk about people. Iuka's full of teenagers and people that just want to party and get out there and just be stupid and get drunk. And we need to claim this city back. I left this place thinking that there wasn't nothing good here. Ooh, you can pass people back over in Australia. When I first got there, I said, I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. I said, I just can't stand it. There's always somebody fighting. All you hear, you sneeze, and somebody says, bless you, across the town. They'll call you up and say, I heard that. I said, it's your privacy ain't there. And but the thing is, it's because we ain't standing by one another. I remember back in the day when I was little, we used to have unity services in this town. Didn't matter what denomination you were. Denomination didn't mean a thing. You all had one common goal. That was to see salvation. That was to see people discipled. That was to see people one for Jesus. And that was just to come together. We need to go back and fight for our city, people. That devil, he's on a rampage. But I tell you what, God is too. When the devil tries to get in somebody's mind and say, you take out these innocent people, you take out these people and we're going to win. But God says, no, 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 I got a better plan. He said, I got these people over here in Iuka, Mississippi that are praying for these people. When you stake that statement for somebody and say, I'm praying for you, you need to step on it. And you need to take the word of God and say, I believe it in Jesus' name. That I'm not wrestling against somebody else. I'm not wrestling against my neighbor who's calling me names. I'm not wrestling against my neighbor who's taking stuff from me. I'm wrestling against the enemy that's trying to make me feel that way. Come on, people. We are fighting a war that we need to get the upper hand. And we went to Shiloh last week. And one thing that's a strange comment to make to I had a roommate. He's not in college anymore. He's just a tall black guy from Chicago. And we were just talking about stuff. We watched a movie on the Civil War. And I told him, I said, if I had to pick a war to be my favorite, it'd probably be the Civil War. And he just looked at me. He goes, well, I'm grateful for it too, Brian. I was like, I bet you are, man. But I don't know where that statement come from. But when, like, I just, a little story to tell you off from. But we went to Shiloh. We were watching this video. And I'm so glad that they've updated it, because the last one wasn't made until 1957 is what Kelly told me. But you see there's up and down battles. And they talked about how it was one of the most severe battles fought in the Civil War, and you saw where the South had come into it, and they started taking over, man. They pushed Ulysses back, and they pushed him back, and they pushed him back, and they thought they had it won. They sent a messenger out to tell people, we've got this battle won. We got this battle won. And I'm telling you, the devil sent out messengers. The demons have sent out messengers telling the devil, oh, we got this city won. We own it. We own it, guys. We own it. We got it. We got it. But I tell you what happened the next day. Ulysses S. Grant got reinforcements in. He got reinforcements and he pushed Confederates back. He pushed them back. He pushed them back. There's one thing Ulysses S. Grant thought, though, whenever he pushed them back. He got scared and thought that they were going to go back for reinforcements. But what they did, they gave up. They gave up. But I tell you what, oh, we come back together with reinforcements. We step up and we said, we ain't fighting. We ain't being down no more. We ain't going to take the punishment. We ain't going to be pushed back. We're not retreating anymore. We're stepping forward and saying, devil, we're taking our land back. Come on, people. Oh. Come on, everybody stand with me. Everybody bow your heads. And I'm gonna put a thing out here, just a not a challenge. Because I'm not challenging. We should all be willing to do this. I want everybody to step out from where you're from and come down here to the altar and grab the hand of the person next to you and raise it high. Come on, everybody. Like I said, we're taking this place back. We can clap all day long. We can amen all day long. But if we don't do something about it, it's for nothing. We step down here. We grab the person next to us and we raise their hand high. We're going to use the word that God's given us to claim this city, to claim this church back from the devil. Come on. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there also. Shoo. We got 3,000 people in this city, 18,000 in this county. One can put 10,000, two can put, what is it? 20,000. Shoo! Just think, 18,000 people coming together to put them demons out of here. Ha-ha. Come on, let's pray it out. Dear Father, I thank you. I thank you for the ability to come and serve you today, Lord. I thank you that we love you, Lord. We love the fact that you are our Father. We love the fact that we can step up and fight this battle for you, Lord. That it's not about the person that believes something else, Father. It's not about the person that may believe in another religion, Lord. But it's about the enemy that's putting that lie into their head, Father God. And we are rebuking that right now. We don't rebuke the person. We rebuke the enemy, Lord, right now. In Jesus' name, we love you, Father. We thank you for your love, Jesus. We thank you that you are the God who came and died for us and lifted your hands so we could be victorious, Lord. Keep praying. I want to put this out here, Lord. That if anybody's here right now that doesn't know Lord, that doesn't know Jesus, that's never experienced Him in their life, that's never had an encounter with Him, just step forward right now. We're going to pray together in unity. We're going to pray together in unity. Because we are a family, like I said. Oh, sure, we volunteered for this army. He called us. We accepted it. Stuff I can believe with our brothers and sisters that don't know Jesus. So everybody pray with me right now. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your love. I thank you that without you, I can be nothing. I thank you for what you did on the cross, Lord. And I believe it 100%. And I thank you for raising from the dead, Lord, and being the King of my life, Lord. And I accept you right now. Come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. So be my Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's just thank you right now. Thank you for each other. Thank you, Lord. You've not left us alone. You've given us a company. You've given us a family. God, you said it wasn't good for Adam to be alone, and you gave him someone to help, someone to work. And Lord, you've done that by putting us in a family. But we're not alone. God, we're not alone. When we pray, we're not alone. You dwell where we praise you. You're there. You're right there. We can stand on you, as our brother said this morning. You're the rock we can rest on. We can depend on. But we depend on you right now. We thank you, Lord Jesus. God, that we have brothers to lift the right hand and sisters to lift the left hand and friends, Lord God. God, we don't need more programs. We just need more friends. We need more family, Lord. God, we believe in, Lord, even as we've been praying for the lost and the backslider, come into the family to return, God, that the family, hallelujah, would be praising you. The family would be lifting you up. The family would be praying for healing. The family, Lord, would support one another, Lord, in their efforts, in their ministries, in their prayers, in their work. Father, we lift not only our hands together, but we lift one another up. I lift the person on my right, and I lift the person on my left up to you. Their needs, their family, their home, their job, their finances, their physical person. Lord, the bloodlines, Lord, that have got them, Lord, battling diseases and thoughts and attitudes. Lord, people that have gone through even what Brian's gone through, even as he said, Lord, that they isolate themselves off and they pull away. Lord, we claim them back. Lord, we move back into the family. We get out of that isolation. We get away from that loneliness. We get back, Lord, in the family today. Most of all, into your family. To hear our Father talk. Not just Scripture, not just Word, but who He is. The Word of God. The God-breathed Word. Breathing it into our hearts. I love you. 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 He's speaking it to you today. I love you. I love you. As a father to his children. Love you this morning, Jesus. Thank you. Now I lift my hands to you, Lord. Surrender. Honor. Lift my hands to you, Lord, to praise you and to magnify your name. Hallelujah. 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 Bless the Lord God.
Bless the Lord God. Bless the Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, what a good God. I say, what a good God. I say, what a good God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I think the sermon was already preached this morning, don't you? Can you imagine what would have happened if Moses just sat there and he looked to the right and he saw Aaron, looked to the left, saw her, and said, I don't want them lifting up my hand. I know what he said the other day, and I saw him doing this. And he hadn't been here for a couple of weeks and something like that. I think he was glad to have somebody holding his hand up. I think that's what one of the things Brian's saying today. We quit looking around there and trying to figure out what they did wrong or did right or what they said, or and just say, thank God there's somebody holding my hand up. Amen. I'm glad to be part of a family, aren't you? Amen. Why don't we hug one another and love one another before you leave God's house this morning? Come back tonight, 6 o'clock, for fellowship. Amen. Thank Brian for a good word this morning. Amen.